Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church here in Tampa, and both of those who may be listening elsewhere, those of us who are here today, good morning to you, and glory to God in the highest, Jesus Christ. Last week, the world celebrated that He has risen. He is risen indeed, and He's risen this Sunday as well. He's risen next Sunday as well. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day is a risen day with Jesus. We arise with Him. We wake up that way, welcoming the day, welcoming Jesus to be Lord of our lives, of every body part, of every mind thinking, of everything that we have, dreams, aspirations, and goals. Jesus, be Lord of my life today as I go to teach. Lord, as I go to work, or as I go to do this, or an unpleasant dental appointment, or wherever I am. God, help me to do what You've called me to do and give me the strength to do it. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning to all the heavenly hosts of God, the angels of God. Good morning, dear Heavenly Father. Good morning, and it is a good morning. And you arise and you put those feet over the edge of the bed and you get up and you do what you got to do, but you do it looking to Jesus in cooperation with Him, in partnership with Him, in union with Him, in communion with Him. We rise to the occasion of the day. And so our title today that was stirred in my heart to label this sharing with you today was, Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. And you've all heard that before. I'm sure you've had people say that to you before. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. Recently, not too long ago, I gave you a testimony. Two of my employees said, Trust me, we know what we're doing. They almost got maimed. They almost called thousands of dollars to some equipment. They did not know what they're doing. And I said it in the most compassionate way. You did not know what you're doing. And now we're going to go, and we're going to go someplace to where they do know what they're doing, and we're going to get it fixed. And one of them went with me to witness how to do it properly. And so humility has to be exhibited sometimes when we think we know, we don't know, and God shows us the better way. He shows us the more perfect way. Trust me, I know what I'm doing sometimes can be very true. And when Shirley sat in the dental chair recently with such a procedure that she went through, she did trust him to know that Dr. Johnson knew exactly what he was doing in the dental chair, because no one gonna mess with my mouth unless I have confidence to know that they know what they're doing. And there's a track record to prove it, not just like, well, this is the first time, I just came from Emory Dental School and I'm gonna, we give you a good reduction in your rate, you know, like you do with the hair people and the cosmetologists and all that kind of stuff. You go down to high schools, you get your hair done, all that kind of stuff. But you better sign a waiver because they might burn your hair, fry your hair, do all this kind of stuff and all this, you know, training process. So when you go, you better know that they know what they're doing. And so there's confidence in that. But sometimes you get to know the history of a person, the track record of a person. When they say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. When my guys say that to me the next time, you better believe I'm going to be checking it out to see whether they know what they're doing or not. Then we'll go from there. So, recently I was also told that I had a certain thing wrong with my vehicle because they saw the leaks from the power steering fluid coming down, and they saw a leak, and they said, well, you've got a high pressure power steering leak going from the pump to the booster, and so you need to get that taken care of because it has something to do with your braking also in the vehicle you have. And so when I went, the bottom line is to get it all checked out. There was no leak in the high pressure power steering line from the pump to the booster, etc. But, you know, what it was simply the cap was leaking, dripping oil on those lines, making them think that the lines were leaking, and I could have spent a lot of money on something that I did not need to do. It was simply a loose a cap that had been worn and leaking fluid on those lines, making you think that when you saw it on the lines, there was a leak. So trust me, I know what I'm doing. Even those were professional people, and I don't think they meant anything by it, but there's ways to do something to discover whether there's really something wrong or not. So you got to go through that process without making assumptions and causing somebody to spend a lot of money for something they don't need to do. So anyhow, trust me, I know what I'm doing. And my life in Jesus has really proven that out. When I trust Him, He does know what He's doing. And when I trust Him, He does work it out. Not for my ruination, but also for my benefit. I just have to
abide in the moment, whether it's in the desert or whether we're in the jungle around these emerald pools of refreshing water. No matter where we are, we need to trust Jesus unconditionally, and we're all going to be proven, we're all going to be tested to see where we're really living, where we're camping out, and who we're trusting. That's always going to be the case. That's how it is. You got to test the product. God's going to test His people. So I want to say this in light of a testimony that has everything to do with this. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. How many of you know that there's a trust even though you don't know what's out there? You do not know what is looming, but your life has been entrusted to the Lord. When you set those feet on the floor in the morning, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to dedicate this day to you. I stand out there every morning with my guys and I say, Lord, we dedicate this day to you. We dedicate this work to you. I pray that we will work harmoniously together to be able to satisfy our clients. But God, help us to get along and help us to do the work that's going to glorify you. We dedicate this day to you. Smack, bang, settled, done. We go to work. We don't sit around, you know, beating them over the head with the Bible or anything like that. We say that and then we go to work. You know, and then we strive to live that way. And if they're not living that way, then I try to look to the Lord for wisdom how to deal with that. So how many of you know that when your life is given over to the Lord, there's things that are looming out there. You don't know, but you trust Him to take care of you with all those things out there that may be going on that you don't know of. Let me give you an example. Recently, I lost complete steering on my truck. I'm on I-4. I cross Howard Franklin. I go 275, 30 miles to Plant City and back on the interstate, 70, 75 miles an hour with a 28-foot trailer loaded with plants, loaded with material, just going down I-4, Gun Highway, curves, a lot of curves on Gun Highway, and just recently I lost complete and total zero turning steering ability. Under these conditions, I just coming back from a nursery out in off of Hutchinson. Just came back, backed up in the parking lot of Lake Magdalene United Methodist Church, doing some work right there, going about 2 miles per hour. I heard this clink, clunk. I had no steering whatsoever, none in the parking lot, not on I-4, not on all those places, not on Howard Franklin Bridge. Right there in the parking lot, I had no steering whatsoever. I looked under my truck, and the rod that goes to the power steering box completely broke off and fell straight on the asphalt right there with no danger whatsoever. My trailer was already unhooked for doing what we were doing, and I was right there in the parking lot. I am freaking out with gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord. So what caused it? What was the trouble? And just what I said to you was so powerfully real. What is lurking out there that you don't know of, that you're putting your trust in God who does know what He's doing, looking out for you? They discovered something that a man had never seen in 500 steering box replacements. In 500, he said, I'll bet you. He said, I have never seen what you experienced with this. This is the bolt that dropped out that is connected to the rod that controls my steering. It goes into, these are splines, little ridges or splines that go up into your steering box. When you steer, it steers your wheels. This completely fell out. They discovered, and you can see right here, anybody will look at this later, that at least a third of this bolt had already been compromised. I was steering with two-thirds of what I was should be steering with a Ford 550, a 19,000 GVW truck. A lot of weight on it, a lot of things at times. And a third of it was already gone. He said, I've never seen anything like this ever. Now, for someone to come up to my face, which no one has, the devil particularly, and tell me, lucky you. Lucky ducky. Lucky you. How about that? You're just a little lucky boy, aren't you? I tell you what, I would defy the very providence of God. I would defy the very caring, the nurturing of God and provision for my life if I were to say, yeah, I guess I was a lucky little Joe here. This, please understand what I'm saying, fell off after all those trips, after all those dangerous situations, gun highway, snake curves everywhere, if this would have dropped just earlier on, not too much further from where I was, if it would have dropped, all I could do in 2 or 3 seconds, it would take a little time, would be to hit the brake. In 2 or 3 seconds, you're already off the road, going around that curve, into a pole, a tree, or another truck, or another car, and you're out of here, along with everything else and everybody else in that vehicle. I tell you what, I was lying down in bed. I couldn't help but think about it. I said, God, I want to express my gratitude to you. I don't want to leave it. I don't want to drop it. I want to give you glory. Help me to do that. Help me to glorify you. How long were we driving with just 2/3 of the strength of this power steering bolt before it dropped out of that box? I don't know. But I suspect, however God did it, God somehow kept this bound long enough for me to get to that parking lot and for this thing to fall out, where I was able to call a wrecker. And for the wrecker, I got wrecker insurance. They took me to where it needed to be fixed, and we got it fixed. And he says, here's your problem. I said, man, hallelujah. He said, yeah, that's right. I said, hallelujah. It's a horrible thing, spiritually now, think with me, to be in your life without steering. Go ahead, press the accelerator. I mean, your boy. I mean, just go ahead. Push that baby all the way down. Go as fast as you want. But when you want to turn, you're not going to be able to turn. You are going wherever that is going to go. And you hear these stories about someone crossing I-4 or I-75 or 275. And they said, well, he must have fell asleep. What if that happened to me and we're all sitting here today? Well, Mark and his guys are gone. We don't know really what happened. He must have fell asleep. And a lot of times people assume that, you know, whatever. Drowsy or whatever, but here's the real deal. God is out there taking care of His sheep, of His people, in times that we don't even realize the fullness of it. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. God wants us to trust Him in all the things that we don't even know about that have been lurking out there in this dangerous world. How long did it go on? I don't know, but I do know every day. Remember what I said a little bit ago, we dedicate the day to the Lord. We dedicate what's going on to the Lord. We dedicate everything to the Lord and ask Him for His hand of safety upon us as we go out. Do you think God hears that? That cry, that desire for God to be involved, integrated, and immersed with Him in our daily work, what we do, what we say, where we go? I do. I believe that. I believe the Scriptures. I believe He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I believe He'll never give me a snake for a fish. I believe that. I want to live that. I want to own that. I want to drink that. I want to have my mind living that way. I think there's more. I know there's more for us. What do you think? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. There was a report that he was pleasing to the Lord. What an epithet to have. What a character. What a description of a man after the heart of God. Enoch walked with God. Do you think there's more for us today in our lives in this walk with Jesus? Do you think this incident encouraged me to trust God more and to know that God is in control
Yes, it did. I hope it's edifying to you to know that you also have things in your life that are out there that you may not know of, but God does. Things that are out of sight, out of mind right now. But how many times have you been going down the road when a missile has been going right beside you, 80, 90 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, and the person is really out of it up here, but yet the vehicle stayed straight and they're right beside you. It could have veered very easily. And you've heard the testimony about Shirley and I coming back from New Orleans, visiting my son and my daughter-in-law just a few months ago. And we got off the interstate and we were getting ready to pull out. And Shirley pulled out as though there was nothing coming. I didn't see anything coming. And she pulled out as though nothing was coming. And all of a sudden, just like that, there was somebody coming. They didn't veer off. They didn't try to veer off because there was nothing for them to veer off for, because, of course, we weren't going to pull out. And we would have been absolutely mangled, bedangled, and something seriously would have happened. But it didn't. And we were shouting hallelujah. Not only for us, but for the other person as well. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. And when God says that, He means that, and we need to trust Him because He does know what He's doing. I'm so grateful to the Lord because little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, He's making sense out of some things for us as we mature in Him, as we forsake the childhoodness of us and become the men and women He's calling us to be. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, and reason as a child. But when I became a man, I'd put away childish things. And so I hope and pray that Mark is becoming more of the man, the spiritual man, and less of the childish man that I used to be. I don't want to share my life with the devil and all the pleasures that he offers. I want to share my life with a holy God and a holy walk and holy thinking and a life that is becoming of a child of God. And I hope you do too. I hope those who all may be listening at least have that desire. There's 1 Corinthians 8:12 says that the first a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a man has. Not what you don't have, but what you do have. It's accepted according. Say, God, an individual in here over our offering time was sitting here, and the individual left and came back with some change. And I knew that was coming out of what they had, not what they didn't have. And I was really blessed by that. Because that mind is thinking about, well, I do have something. I'm going to go get it. And I'm going to give it. And God blesses that. I see a lot of things here you may not think I see. I hear a lot of things you may not think I hear, but who cares about me? God sees it. You meet me, forget me, you lost nothing. You meet Jesus, forget Him, you lost everything. I want to encourage you because God sees it. God sees Debbie June. He's seen the whole history of you, 7 years free of cancer. God sees it all. God wants us for Him. Nancy, I tell you what, I'm going to get a bullhorn and shout, whatever, run, Nancy, run. And you have been running to Jesus and away from those things that bog you down. How many men all over this world are being deceived by the God of this world? It has been asserted that during the late Franco-German War, German drummers and trumpeters used to give the French beats and calls in order to deceive their enemies. The command to halt or cease fire was often given by the Germans, it has been said, and the French soldiers were placed in positions where they could be shot down like cattle. Satan is the arch enemy of our souls, and he has often blinded our reason and deceived our conscience by his falsehoods. He has often come as an angel of light, concealing his hideousness under a borrowed cloak. He says to a young man, "Sow your wild oats. Time enough to be religious when you grow old." The young man yields himself to a life of extravagance and excess under the false hope that he will obtain solid satisfaction. And it is well if he awakens to the deception before his appetites become tyrants, dragging him down into the depths of want and woe. Satan promises great things to his victims in the indulgence of their lusts, but they never realize the promises. The promised pleasures turns out to be pain. The promised heaven, a hell. Picture a person who has a propensity for drugs to be hooked up with IV for drugs 24/7 and experience that. IV 24/7. Just all the time. And picture that not satisfying the soul, because it won't. Hooked up to whatever you imagine would be the most pleasurable thing and just be hooked up at 24/7. And at the end of that, you'll find out that heaven is a hell. That's all it is a hell. The long black train. I don't know about you, but in my life, as I sought God to trust him because he does know what he's talking about, I shared this some time back about this example of it makes sense to me in my life, maybe not you. But I was in a black enclosed life, a goody two shoes, whatever, go to church once in a while, try to treat everybody right and loan things to people, all those kind of things, you know, all those kind of things, but not really walking with Jesus. I was in darkness. According to the scriptures, I was in darkness. Somebody else might think, "Well, Mark, you're never that way." Well, your opinion doesn't matter. It matters what God says. Don't listen to opinions. You got to base what you know upon the Word of God. I walked in darkness. Jesus said, "Those who walked in darkness saw a great light." When he came. And so I picture myself in a dark place, all dark. But if you're really serious and you're really seeking God to know him, to have revelation, to get out of this crazy insaneness, this life of darkness, you've got to be willing. And if you just picture putting a pinhole into that dark world and picture yourself in there, but now a pinhole has been pierced, and you hold that pinhole up to the light, you cannot keep it out. You can't keep the light out. There's no more darkness. It may not be wide open right now at this point, but there's a pinhole and there's light. It's like the miners being trapped in a very dark place, thousands of feet in the ground, and all of a sudden that drill bit goes, "Boys, they're getting closer, they're getting closer." And you know that drill bit is coming down. You know they're looking for you. And you know about, they know about where you are. But they're down there, and you hear that vibration. And that thing finally pops through, and glory, hallelujah, we have access to air and light, and they're coming. So I don't know how it worked with you, but I do know that I wasn't very happy where I was. I wasn't happy trying to please men and please God. go to church once in a while, that kind of stuff, you know. That doesn't cut it. It has to be a life dedicated to Him. And sometimes we fear because if we let go, I'm going to lose all these things if I let go. And my, how sad to let go of what God wants you to let go of to live a life for Him. How sad that's going to be. That has never been proven to be true. It never will be true that for a person to let go of a life, to live a life in the Lord, you're never going to regret it. Amen. It's impossible. So, with me, I couldn't help but bust the top off and let all the light come in. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in and brighten every mile. Open up your heart and let the sun shine in. It's something like smile, 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 whatever. Joy, joy, joy. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I believe we need to open up more and be willing to open up more to let Jesus reveal Himself to us. I believe in that process we will become more like Him, and we're going to experience the likeness of Jesus, and we're going to be able to testify of that to the world. God may not call you to go to Zimbabwe. God may not call you to go to Djibouti. God may not call you to go down to the worst horrible place you can think of, Detroit or Tampa or Miami. But God may call you to live a life where you are in class or work or wherever you go, where you are saying to that person at the right moment, a God moment, be able to share Jesus with them. And God may call you to go down to Ybor City. God may call you. Yeah, you can do that too. Or down, you know, down to the homeless or whatever. But let God do the calling. Trust me, I know what I'm doing because God does. He is and you're not. But in Him you are. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it does to me. It's all about Him. I had a dream last night, and I was preaching on a street to these people, and it was like a neighborhood, and their houses were out there, and I was saying to them with all the confidence, and just like I can say right now, there's a tsunami coming, and there was a bush, there's a tree right here, and I walked up to that tree and I said, if this is not rooted and grounded, I pushed the tree down just like that. And I said, it's not going to make it. But if you're rooted and you're anchored in Christ Jesus, come what may, hell, high water, whatever, at the end of the day, God's people are going to be standing. And He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, washed in the blood of Jesus. It's a grand church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And it is. We are. And don't go out and try to perfect yourself, because it ain't going to work. Because you can't do it. You cannot perfect yourself. But God does not want to share us with this world. In Deuteronomy, in your take home today, Deuteronomy 4, start with verse 1, it says, well, let's read the first four verses, but we're going to be closing here pretty quick. If any of you want to continue our service to sit for the next 4 hours, you can come back, we'll continue, but we're not going to do that right now. We're just going to eat for a little bit, and we're going to go home, we're going to live this life, and we're going to glorify Jesus Christ in the life we live. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting with verse 1, just briefly, but drink in what God is saying, because we're not just starting. We've already had church. We're having church. And here Moses is reiterating to the people the covenant that God had with them. And I just want to make a point here. and we're going to close. And now, O Israel, listen, listen, listen. It doesn't say it three times. I'm saying it three times. Listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, to do, in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. For all the men who follow Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. Baal Peor, false gods. You see what God done to false gods. He destroyed them. Destroyed the people that worship Baal Peor as well. And verse 4, here it is. Exclamation. But you who held fast to the Lord, who cleave to the Lord, your God, are alive today, every one of you. Everyone who followed the living God, obeyed Him, and not just at a distance, but were bound to Him and cleave to Him, are alive today, every one of you. In like manner, because of what Jesus has done, because He has risen, He lives, He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me without ceasing. We have life in Him. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Wow. No ifs, but for certainty, if we trust God, because He knows what He's doing, He has a plan for man, for salvation, for eternity with Him. He will not deceive you. He will not give you a rock for a fish. He will not give you a snake for a fish. That's the God we serve, y'all. And Lisa Timmer and Lisa Farkas and all the other Lisas that are out there in this world, seek the face of God, desire to live for Him, and watch God provide things for you that you don't even know, have a clue that is out there. I'm only alive today. I'm only unmaimed today, right now, because of God's mercy and God's grace. I showed you the demonstration of it. I showed you what happened and where the thing fell off in a secure place. That was all arranged by the living God that I serve. That was all arranged by God. The day that we stopped from coming back from a 700-mile trip to attend to our children, I shared this with you before, we opened the van door right outside of 700 millennial miles, right smack outside that door, flapping in the weeds. We were just talking about finances, Shirley and I, was a dollar bill stuck on that weed. Who stuck it on that weed and kept it on it? Not Gorilla Glue, not Elmer's Glue, not anything and not anything working together to make sure that dollar bill didn't mug up that weed and it was blowing. It was like this. What do you think that did to our faith that day? It really stirs the fire. God does not want to share your thoughts, your life, your dreams, your goals, your aspirations with this dark world, but with Him alone. You can do it. I can do it. Only because of Jesus Christ. We need to trust Him because He knows what He's doing. And everybody said,
Amen. Amen.
And everybody said,
Amen. Amen.
Everybody said?
Amen!
Oh, now that's better. We'll close with that, y'all.